This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
I invite you to take your Red Book of Common Prayer and open to page 258. On page 258, I will invite us to have a moment of silence and then a prayer, number 18, for peace, as we remember the people who suffer as a result of the tragic events in France. Together. Almighty God, kindle, we pray, in every heart the true love of peace, and guide with your wisdom those who take counsel for the nations of the earth, that in tranquility your dominion may increase until the earth is filled with the knowledge of your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. There are times when terrorism strikes and we aren't exactly sure what to pray. And I think that is a wonderful resource for us to have. Our new presiding bishop, Michael Curry, put out a little video that was broadcast out to the Episcopal Church, and he simply said out loud, "Join me in praying the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Perhaps the best we can do right now is that. But I wanted to start with some sort of a recognition and an ask for prayers for those affected by this, especially in light of the gospel we just heard. Because I don't want anyone to get the idea that anything we say today indicates that what has transpired is a good thing, because it's not. If you notice the end of this gospel, Jesus talks about all these calamities happening, and he ends by saying, "These are but the birth pangs." What has transpired is not something that is a birth pang. It is a death pang. And hopefully, God in God's goodness is going to make this the beginning of the end for those who would do us wrong. God can bring miracles out of anything, but this is not a good thing. So let's talk about the good thing that's going on today. We have Jesus in the temple for the last time in Mark's gospel. If we go back a few chapters, Jesus had come up to Jerusalem, and he tells us that Jesus went to the temple, and after he looked around, he just went home. He comes back the next day, and as we remember the story, this is where he overturns the money changers' temples, and all kinds of chaos breaks loose. "You are changing my father's house into a den of robbers." He leaves. He's back at the temple again, as we heard last week. And there he is with his disciples watching the people put the money into the treasury. And along comes the widow with the widow's mite. Now we pick up the story today. Jesus goes out of the temple. And what do his disciples want to point out to him as they look back upon it? "Jesus, look at this temple. The biggest stones, 44 feet across, 13 feet high, 11 feet deep, roughly covering from transept to transept." Those of you who are able to join us in the Holy Land pilgrimage earlier this year, or who have gone there before, you have seen the remnant of these stones. They are absolutely huge. so huge that when they were able to stack them on top of each other, which is another miracle of the ancient world, how they were able to even assemble them, they did not put mortar between the stones. It's just the weight of those things, one on top of the other, that held the temple together. So it was unfathomable to those people that anyone would be able to knock down this structure physically. And Jesus says, it's all going to be rubble. Not stone will be left upon stone. And in the corner of that temple, as those who have been there have seen, there was what was called the pinnacle, the corner top stone of the temple. The pinnacle where Satan tempted Jesus. The pinnacle where that trumpet would have been blown to announce everyone to come to the temple. A very holy spot. And you go to that site overlooking the temple as we did, and you look down, and there it is on the ground, having been excavated. There's even some markings on it that indicate that's the very pinnacle stone right down there in the valley. We have photos of it if you don't believe me. Happened in 70 AD. The temple was physically destroyed. But I think Jesus is talking about something else here. A type of symbolism that comes out in the letter to the Hebrews that we heard today. Where they had the tradition that the priests would come to the temple every year to offer sacrifice annually, so that the people's sins could be forgiven. And they did this time and time again. And as Hebrews tells us, Jesus has done the sacrifice to take care of that forever. And this is, I think, what he's getting at when he talks about this temple is going to be destroyed. Why? Why did they go to the temple? Because they believed that that's where you got to be with God. Anything that was important, anything that had to do with religion, you went to the temple. Their whole relationship with God was rooted in the temple. And the thing that I think Jesus wants to get at here, even more so than the physical destruction of the building, is the fact that so oftentimes they were thinking that they were holding God in by having that physical structure, where Jesus wanted to break down the walls so that God could get out. Because in a very short time, Jesus will come back to Jerusalem, very close to the temple, but it will be in chains, dragged back, and hung upon a cross, completing that total, final sacrifice. So it becomes for me the opportunity to look, where in my life am I trying to keep God inside that box? Where am I not allowing God to break down walls and get out into the world as God would have it to be? We heard the beautiful story of Hannah today. We recited her own Old Testament Magnificat, like Mary would proclaim in a couple of weeks when we're in Advent. Because this is about pangs of birth being given. That the pain and the difficulty and the earthquakes and the personal famines we go under, a lot of times it's about birth pangs, because change isn't easy. We've had our own temples destroyed in this church of St. Joseph's. It wasn't that long ago, guys, when a group of people got up at the end of the service and marched out of here carrying the 1928 prayer books with them, never to return, because they had based their temple in a book. Well, our faith goes beyond a book, I hope. So it becomes incumbent upon us, as we see what Jesus is doing and saying today, where are the false temples I've created in my own life? God can only be here? Well, maybe God wants to be here. And it's not going to be easy sometimes for me to be willing to go from here to here. But that's what the sacrifice of Jesus is all about. I want to end today with a short reflection written by one of my favorite writers by the name of William Dawes, and he writes this. Think about the temples in your life, the ones around you, the things you count on to give your life stability and meaning. But wonder most about your inner temple. Give thanks for the ways in which such a temple continues to serve you well, if it does. But own up as best you can to where you are into duct tape and glue, repairing and shoring up a temple that is killing you. Consider what birth pangs are already beginning in your life. What is waiting to be born in you that is too big or too loud or too audacious or simply too important to you and to God for your old temple? Give thanks for all the blessings in your life, but be grateful as well for the tremors of an earthquake at your firmest foundation or hunger pangs in your heart telling you that there's more. Amen.